Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, as countries continue to fight back against new waves of the COVID-19 pandemic, the rollouts of vaccination programs around the world have offered a brief glimmer of hope that recovery may be underway and gradual recovery for the travel industry, business travel included. But given there's still a severe shortage of vaccinations, unequal distribution across the world, and that rollouts are typically administered by government authorities who've established priority lists in terms of who'll be vaccinated first, how might this affect the way international and business travel opens up? What are some key considerations for employers when managing short-term and long-term business travelers? For more insights, we speak to Lee Quain, who is Regional Director for Asia at ECA International. Lee, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's first talk about safety protocols and measures that HR teams would be required to oversee for overseas assignees amid this pandemic.
Well, I think generally organizations have a duty of care to their employees. And when it comes to mitigating the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on business travelers or international assignees, what most companies have to do in the first instance, even before we start discussing vaccinations, is to do what they can to reduce risk to any of their employees who may have to do cross-border travel for company purposes, whether or not that's a business trip or going on an assignment for a longer term duration. And this can kind of be done through several measures. Firstly, companies can perhaps do what we call a pre-departure medical assessment for people that they are considering to send overseas. Companies historically do this when they're sending staff for longer term durations of 1 year or more anyway. And what these pre-departure medical assessments do is they try to identify certain risk factors that an employee may have in order to see whether or not going on an assignment to that particular location could be detrimental to the employee's health. So if the employee, for example, has any certain underlying issues which makes them not necessarily more of risk to catching COVID-19, but they're more likely to show a negative or a more adverse impact. If they're to catch it, then obviously a company can find this out. And then that lets them know whether or not they should send the person on assignment or at least have a discussion with the employee to let them know, look, these are the risks that you face and whether or not you still wish to go on the assignment. And that helps a company also to determine whether or not there are certain high-risk locations or any particular no-go locations where they think, well, essentially sending the person to this particular location because of either that person's health themselves or the relative spread of the COVID-19 pandemic in that country, whether or not that possesses a certain risk to make a particular location a high risk or even a no-go location. And finally, I think organizations can perhaps do pre-departure briefings with their employees as well. So in the absence of a vaccination, the organization can at least sit down with the employee or at least somebody who's trained within the organization can sit down with the employee and provide them with some impartial advice in terms of what they can do in order to reduce the risks of catching this virus while they're on assignment.
Should employers think about mandating vaccination for all of their traveling employees?
That's a very good point, and this is a point which many of our clients have spoken to us about as well or asked our advice. Essentially, vaccines are presently not mandatory, so I'm not aware of any countries where there is a legal requirement for their population to be vaccinated. So it's quite difficult, therefore, for a company to therefore require an employee to be vaccinated before they're sent on an assignment or before they undertake business trip. To do so could obviously give rise to concerns about discrimination. However, this type of decision may actually be outside of the company's hands. because in many cases we've already seen certain airlines, for example, starting to say that they are going to start requiring their travelers to have the COVID-19 vaccination before they board a plane. Likewise, I think immigration authorities in many countries, as we go through the next few months, again, they're going to start mandating that anybody coming into their countries, even though it's not compulsory for their own citizens or their own residents to have the vaccine, to stop it from coming into their borders, they'll likely require any travellers to also possess a COVID-19 vaccination certificate as well. Just like we do with yellow fever at the moment, where yellow fever is endemic in certain parts of the world. And if you're traveling to certain locations, such as Singapore, you have to show that you have a yellow fever vaccination certificate. So we'll likely see this. So that decision being taken away from the company and more being a case that the service providers, such as the airlines, or the immigration authorities in the host locations actually requiring a person to have that vaccination. So therefore, we will likely see business travellers needing to be vaccinated, but that's not necessarily going to be enforced by the company, but it's going to be enforced by the fact that the location where the person is going to and the means with which they're going to get there will require them to be vaccinated.
Mm. So this obviously will affect business travel and recovery for specific countries, given there are varying levels of the vaccination process being administered around the world. Some saying it's a must, some saying it's not.
Yes. So vaccination will speed up the recovery of business travel, but it's not going to be an overnight situation where, let's say, for example, on the 1st of April 2021, all countries will open their borders once again and then everybody will be able to travel. What we need to be aware of here is that certain countries are likely to recover quicker. And here we're looking at locations which are particularly small, where it's likely that the country is, number one, able to roll out vaccinations internally quite quickly, but also, again, that they can keep control over their incoming and outbound travellers. So Singapore is a classic example of this. Essentially, the recovery for business travel is going to be gradual, and also it's going to be quite patchwork in terms of some locations will recover quicker and other locations will take a longer period of time before they fully open their borders once again.
Should we even be talking about vaccine passports then, Lee, given this patchwork that you're talking about? I mean, I'm sure a standardization of something would help.
Well, there's a few areas of concern here with regards to vaccine passports. Firstly, I think one of the issues is going to be how is that data going to be stored, shared and protected? Mm. So, for example, at the moment, if you have a passport, you know that your passport contains biometric data and it's normally stored at a government level, in most cases, in an IT system that can be trusted. If you have a vaccine passport, the question here is, who is going to be responsible for storing that, securing that, and maintaining that data and sharing it as well? So I think that's one concern that many people have. However, as I mentioned before, we already have situations where you, in order to enter a certain country, you have to show certification of inoculation for certain illnesses. So at the moment, people already do that with yellow fever, where they carry some form of medical card on them. So whether or not we just do something which is much more what we call lo-fi and refer back to just having a medical card, which you include in your passport instead. Mm. But the issue here also is scale. Firstly, you need to make sure that you get everybody vaccinated. And secondly, you have to come up with some form of passport or mechanism which is accepted globally and rolling out in time. So what I mean here is you'll need to have some form of platform in terms of where everybody is willing to share information in terms of countries. And we know from technology, there's a lot of competition out there. So for example, if you look at your hand phones, we've got competing software phones run on Android, other people's phones run under Apple. Again, that just shows the challenge associated with this, trying to find some form of commonly held platform where people are willing to store and share that information. It's difficult for us to get our business travelers vaccinated because at the moment, those are not necessarily the category of people that governments are focusing on.
Lee, thank you so much for your insights as always.
You're welcome, Howie. Thank you for your time.
Lee Quain, Regional Director for Asia at ECA International. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.